biblical praise is. My prayer, what I want to happen from these messages is that we come into a more complete understanding and entrance into biblical praise. That we can bring down the traditions of men, that we can break those things that bind us and keep us from biblical praise, and that we can come into what Bible says that praise is. And here in Psalms 149, in the first three verses, there are seven aspects of praise that we're talking about. And these are the seven aspects of praise that I really want us to begin to meditate on and think about. And I'm praying that God, in your times at home, in your private times, will, in your prayer times, in your alone times, that He will begin to minister this to you, that you can chew on this, that you can get this digested, and that what we're saying here will really happen in us. And I'm reading Psalms 149, and I'm reading it from the King James because I really like the way King James does the Psalms or the poetic books. Some of the words are different in the NASV and NIV, but the thought is basically the same, and we won't lose anything because I'll probably use all of it as we go through it. But in Psalms 149, in verse 1, it says, "Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in Him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise His name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto Him with the timbrel and the harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people." Let's stop right there just a second, because I felt this morning as I was in prayer about this that I felt like that would be an emphasized point that I needed to emphasize this morning. Does the Lord take pleasure in praise? Understand that the Lord takes pleasure in the people that praise Him. That's what the thought there is. People that praise the Lord, we take pleasure. The Lord takes pleasure in it. People that praise Him. The Lord taketh pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. Notice the aspects of praise and warfare. To execute vengeance. To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. To bind their kings with chains and the nobles with fetters of iron. To execute upon them the judgment written. And look, this honor have all the saints. Praise ye the Lord. Now the seven aspects of praise that we're looking at here, I'm going to call them off to you right rapidly. First of all, there's personal praise. Secondly of all, there's singing praise. Thirdly, united praise. Fourthly, rejoicing praise. Fifthly, joyful praise. Sixth, praise and dance. And seventh, instrumental praise. And we're talking about these. We're talking about these. Now I'm not talking about worship. I'm not talking about specials. I'm talking about praise. Praise is what we're talking about here. Praise you the Lord. First of all, there's individual praise. Praise you the Lord. I've talked about this before, but I really want you to see this. What does the word praise really mean? Well, I want you to see. Praise is the Hebrew word halah. We get our word hallelujah from this. Praise the Lord. Lord, there is Jah. Jah, J-A-H. Praise Jah. Praise Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And this is the word that we use. When we say hallelujah, we're saying praise the Lord. That's what hallelujah means. It means to be clear, to shine, to make a show, and to rave. To make a show, to me, tells me that there must be then not a repression, but an expression. If I am making a show about something, am I repressing or expressing? So the word in itself talks about some sort of expression. And then rave. Have you ever called somebody or heard somebody, I know nobody ever did this, but heard somebody maybe say, "You raving maniac?" Well, that means they are expressing what? They are expressing craziness. There's an expression. There's a raving thing that's happening. There's something that's being expressed. So in the word praise in itself, it means to shine. When something shines, you can see it. It shines. It's make a show. It means to rave. Rave. So this is what we're talking about. We're not talking about worship. We're not talking about specials. I'm talking about praise, biblical praise. Biblical praise. Not praise according to the doctrines of men, which make the Word of God what? None effect. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about what we think praise is. I'm talking about biblical praise. Biblical praise is an expression. When we come to the church, we should come to church and express, not repress. The church should be a place of expression and not repression. I'm not going to recover what we've already talked about. I want to go on into the third aspect of praise. I'm sure as I'm saying things, I'll have to go back, and maybe at the end, maybe next week, I can cover it some. But I want to talk about united praise this morning. Praise in the congregation of the saints. Praise in the congregation of the saints. Now, I want to ask you a question. Does it say there, sing praise in the congregation of the saints? What does it say? This isn't a trick question. You have it in your lap. What does your Bible say? Praise in the congregation of the saints. Now, of course, involved in this thought would be singing, but that's not what all he's talking about. How many understand there is more to praise than singing? If I am going to rave, if I am going to make a show, and if I'm going to shine, there's going to be more than my just singing. Praise to most Christians is singing. And we do. It's a part of singing. Singing to the Lord a new song. Sing praises. We come into His presence with singing. Singing is a part of praise, but singing does not totally tell me what praise is. Most Christians never really know what all praise is in the Scriptures. Most Christians have never had teachings on what praise really is. Though they read the Scriptures and they see these things, they never really understand these things. They never come into to praise. Most Christians, think about it, never praise God. They sing, but most Christians never praise God because they don't really know. They're not led into praise. We've got to be led into praise. So praise is something more than singing, and this is what I'm trying to show us and get us into. Praise in the congregation. Praise in the congregation of the saints is what King James says. Of His righteous ones or His godly ones is what NASV says. So what we're talking about here is a people coming together and praising God. Is that what we're talking about here? This is congregational praise. The first one, which is praise you, the Lord, is individual. Sing a new song unto the Lord is basically individual. But when you come into this one, now we're talking about something that we do together. Something that we do together. We praise God in the congregation. Now, I don't know if I'm going to be able to relay what I'm wanting to share with you this morning. When I come in here on Sundays, the Lord's Day, I come in knowing that I'm going to praise God. That's a part of the rest of it. It's a part of this. I know when I come in, I am going to praise God. I'm not going to praise Him according to how I feel. I'm not going to praise Him about how I'm getting along with Judy or how things are going with Lance and Bonnie or how my finances are. I know I'm going to praise Him because He's worthy of my praise. I know I'm going to praise Him according to His excellent greatness, His name, and His righteousness. That's what determines whether I praise Him or not. So as I come in here on Sunday, the Lord's Day, I come in knowing I am going to praise God. So I'll come in, we come here, we go through communion, we go through announcements, we start the praise service. Now, I'm here with you. We're all here together. But as I begin to praise the Lord, I'm still praising the Lord most of the time all by myself. Now, that I don't mean that you're not praising God. I don't even mean that some of you aren't dancing and rejoicing. But still, I'm here and you're there and we're not doing it together. We're just doing it. Now, what I'm trying to convey to you, what I'm trying to say to you, is that there's an aspect in this that I want us to be able to come together on. I want us to come together like Christopher comes up here. Christopher comes up here, I guarantee you, one of the reasons that he was looking forward to come to church today so he could praise God. And he came and he comes up here and he provokes me and he gets me stirred up a little bit. And it's not long, he asked me, he says, Pastor, can I dance around the church? Yeah, buddy, go ahead. Well, here he goes. And then here goes Cole with him. except you become as a little child, you won't enter the kingdom of God. And so what I'm wanting us to see is there's something about coming together in the circular dances, in the rejoicing, and in this aspect of praise and worship that I'm trying to project to us today that will take us into a new level. Even though we are together in the same building, most times we're still individually praising. Am I communicating this? Steve, did I get this across? Now what I'm wanting us to do, and I don't know how to do it, but I see what I'm trying to project to you. I've seen it in places, but it's not the norm. It's not what you normally find, even at conferences and places where you go where there's exuberance in praise. Seldom do you really see people praising God together. They're in the building praising. They're in the same building, the same room, but they're not praising God together. And there's an aspect of this, the praising God together. We need to learn to praise God together. Will you agree with that? We need to learn to do more than sing. We need to learn to do even more than dance, more than shout, more than lift up our hands and clapping of our hands. We need to learn to praise God in the congregation. We need to learn to praise God together. Now, how many want to do that? I mean, you may never do it, but would you like to do it? I mean, would you? Yeah, most of us. Most of us want to do this. Well, what hinders us? What keeps us from enjoying the presence of God? What hinders us? What stops us from enjoying this wonderful experience on the Lord's Day? Well, we could blame it on traditions. And that would be so if you haven't been to church here but once. But once you've come to church here a little while, you are going to see in your scriptures, in your Bible, that what praise really is an expression. People praise their God. It's an expression of exuberance to our God. But after you've been here a while, you learn that praise is more than singing, and praise is something that you really do need to enter into. And so you really can't use that as a crutch anymore, because I'll show you, if you're here very long, what praise really is. So it comes to this. And when we come to this point in our thinking, it changes the way we look at so much. It comes to whether we're going to do what the Bible says or do what we want to do. In the scriptures, and we sugarcoat these verses and these scriptures. But understand that when Moses came down from the mount, he didn't come down with 10 suggestions. What did he come down with? Commandments. Is praise the Lord a suggestion? Or is praise the Lord emphatic? When we do what the Bible says, the Bible ensures us that if we will do what the Bible says, we will be blessed. Am I right? And if we don't do what the Bible says, something else happens. And we can sugarcoat it, and we can call it whatever that we really want to call it. We can call it sowing and reaping. We can call it obedience and disobedience. But the Bible simply calls it cursings. And I want to say it correctly, because I want you to receive it. When I enter into praise and I do what the Bible says, And I come into this aspect of exuberance and raving towards God, then I get blessed because of that. There is a blessing that happens to me. And what I want us to do is come into that blessing corporately. I want us to experience the good things of God. Not just one or two of us or 10 of us or 30 of us. I want all of us to come into a corporate aspect of understanding of praise and entering into praise. Let the congregation praise Him in the congregation. Now, I want to give you a couple of verses here that will help me get this across to you. And look with me in the book of Exodus, please, at chapter 15. What has happened here is in chapter 12, they had the Passover. Then God delivers them out of Egypt. They come to the Red Sea, and the Lord opens up the Red Sea. Israel goes through, and then as Pharaoh and his army tries to come after them, what happens is the Red Sea closes, and we all know this story. But then what happened on the other side is what I want to try to impart to us, what I want us to not, and I can't even really impart it because I'm not sure that I even have this, but it's what I see, and it's what I'm hearing, and it's where I want us to come into praise and worship. In chapter 15, Moses sings a song to the Lord. And then in chapter 15, verse 20, it says, "And Miriam the prophetess, Aaron's sister," and she was also Moses' sister, "took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dancing." Now, I want to make sure that I amplify this the way that I really want to. First of all, she took a timbrel. That would be the musical aspects of praise. Then she went out with dancing, and the literal translation of that is dances. It's a plural. And then Miriam answered them, "Sing to the Lord." Then they're singing. There's three things here that I see. First of all, there's the musical aspects, the timbrels. Then there is the dance. And then there is the singing. Miriam answered them, "Sing to the Lord, for He has highly exalted. The horse of the rider He has hurled into the sea." Now, please get the picture. They've come across the Red Sea. God has delivered them from Egypt. He has now destroyed their enemies, and those enemies will never, ever again bother Israel. And so they go across, and Moses is happy, and Moses is singing, and this is translated to the people. And so Miriam gets a timbrel and a tambourine, and she comes out, and she says, "Come on, gals, let's praise God. Let's sing." And they get together, and they start dancing and singing. Everybody, all the women, come together, and they start having a big time praising God because God has delivered them. How many of us have been delivered from something that will never, ever again bother us? Well, then we've got reason to praise God. And we need to get the timbrels out, and we need to get the tambourines out, and we need to get to dancing and praising God. If I could sing, Moses evidently couldn't talk, but he could sing. I guess he had the Meltellus syndrome. I don't know. But he could sing, and he got it imparted to the people. If I could sing, maybe I'd help myself and get this in. I can't sing. I just make a joyful noise. But I'm wanting to see this. I wanted to see, man, there is something that you can come into in praise and worship that we've never experienced here. And I don't want to experience it once or twice. I want it to be something that happens every time this congregation comes together to praise God. Another one, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This is Jehoshaphat. He's king of Judah. And Amnon and Moab, who are the incestual sons of Lot, are messing around with Judah. Messing around with praise. That's what Judah means. And there's a whole lot there. And so he calls a fast. They fasted together. And so the Lord speaks to a prophet. And this is the verse, this is the part in verse 20 where we hear that quoted sometimes. "Put your trust in the Lord your God and you will be established. Put your trust in the prophets and you will have success," or "you will succeed." This is where that's coming from. And then the prophet has spoken to them and he says, "What you got to do, Jehoshaphat, is you got to get people going out before you praising God." Now again, remember that praise is more than singing. Praise is to shine. Praise is to make a show. Praise is what David did when he brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. He made a raving idiot out of himself, and Michael told him so. Am I right? "Oh, how glorious was the king today." See, Michael was on the wrong side of the window. If Michael would have been where she should have been with her husband, then she'd have been praising God too. So here's the prophet says, "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out. I want you to praise God, and God'll take care of you." So he does that. Verse 22. Well, verse 21. "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised." Now, do you see this? There's singing and there's praising. It's not that singing is not praising, but what we're talking about is a total concept of praise. In most churches that you go to, a praise service is two hymns, first, second, third stanzas, and that's it. That is not biblical praise. Praise is a shining, is a raving, is an expression to our God. He set those who sang and those who praised Him in holy attire as they went out before the army and said, "Give thanks to the Lord, for His loving kindness," or "His mercy endureth forever." In verse 22, "And when they began singing and" what? Singing and praising. Singing and. I mean, everybody sees there's more to praising than singing. And this is where I want us to come. Biblical praise. Not what I think praise is, or what I've been taught praise is, but a biblical understanding of what praise is. What does the Bible say that praise is? When they began singing and praising the Lord, set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so they were routed. Whatever's messing with your praise, whatever's messing with your Judah, can be destroyed. But what you got to do is sing and, help me, sing and praise. And if you'll let that go first, whatever's hindering you, whatever's messing with your Judah, and Judah means praise, if you will send them out, go ahead and send them on out there, I guarantee you, whatever it is that's messing with it can be destroyed. God will set ambushments. God will deliver you. And every one of us can stand a little bit of this, me included, all of us. And so when I preach or when I teach something, it's not just very seldom do I share something that I'm not preaching to myself. The one who gets the most out of any teaching is the teacher. And what I get most out of is I understand things because I have to say them. I try to phrase them. I try to listen to it before I say it. I try to say it right. And so I'm having to meditate and think. And so it ministers to me much more than it ministers to you. But what I am seeing is that there is a congregational praise. There is a praise that we can come into. We can come into a situation of praise and worship together, congregationally, that will deliver us from everything. That will execute vengeance on the enemies of our life. Can you hear this? Have I shared this with you? Have I expressed my heart to you? I want us to leave where we're at and go on. I want us to come up here and dance and rejoice. I want it to be an every Sunday thing. I want there to be exuberance in the house of the Lord. Not praising Him according to what we've been taught, or according to how we feel, or according to what's going on in our life, but according to His excellent greatness, His name, which is His Word, and according to His righteousness. Now, that was number three, and we'll have to stop. How many want to experience this? Somebody has to go first. Then somebody has to follow. You will be one or two, one of the others of that. You will be one that will go first or one that will follow. In the King James Bible, it's not the next one that we'll be looking at, but it's the one after the next one. This was number three, so it would be number five. I think it says, the King James Bible says joyful. The NASB Bible says rejoice. What that word really means is, and I had it up there, you probably saw it. It means to twirl about violently. Twirl about violently. What? This is joyful. Jesus said, "I've said these things unto you so that your joy may be full." Joy may be full. One of the things that Jesus wants us to do is be full of joy. And no matter how we image Him, we've got to understand that Jesus Christ really was a joyful person. I think we image Him of this very solemn, grumpy person. His joy was full. Peter and Jude talk about the joy of the Lord, and they say exceeding joy. Joy unspeakable. What does that mean? If a glass is full of water, can you get any more water in it? If you're full of joy, can anything else get in there? And what I'm wanting to share with us is back to this aspect. If our church is full of exuberant praise, if we are full of joy, can anything else get in there? Because as you start filling yourself up with joy, and it is absolutely impossible to twirl around and rave like a maniac and praise God biblically and be sad. You can't do it. It is impossible. Your mind is fixed on God. You're full of joy. You're laughing at yourself. You're laughing at everybody else. But you're having a big time. And church should be a big time. Church should be the high point of the week. And praise should be a big part of that high point. Am I right? You know I'm right. It's just getting us to do it. It's getting us to do it. Pastor Steve, we got to sing something. I don't know what you want to do, but we gotta. I just can't stop. Oh, we gotta try to enter into this. Take us somewhere. Do that first one that you did. That let us go up and take the city or something. And listen, I'm loosing us. Come up here with me. I will get with you. If you're hearing this and you want to go first like Judah, come. Maybe somebody else will follow. But let's do it. Yeah, it comes two. Hallelujah! I want this. I want our church. I want to do this. I want this to be something that we do. Is there ready? What are the effects of this? People come in, visitors. People come in that have never been here before. How's it going to affect them? First of all, they say they're raving maniacs. Is that right? But as they begin to be challenged in their thinking, and they see the joy of the Lord, and they see happiness bubbling out of people, and they see the joy of the Lord is our strength, and they see exceeding joy, and they see fullness of joy. Hey, they're going to want that. People don't want to be sad. The world is hurting and it's sad. What they got to have is joy. Is this all right? Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Stand, please.